We really need new phones.
T-Mobile will cover the cost of four amazing new iPhone 15s, and each line is only $25 a month.
New iPhone 15s? It's better
over here. Only at T-Mobile, get four iPhone 15s on us and four lines for $25 per line per month with eligible trade-in when you switch.
Minimum of 4 lines for $25 per line per month with auto pay discount using debit or bank account. $5 more per line without auto pay, plus taxes and fees. Phone fee at 24 monthly bill credits for well qualified customers. Contact us before canceling account to continue bill credits or credit stop and balance on required finance agreement due. $35 per line connection charge applies. See T-Mobile.com.
It's time for MLB Pitch, Hit, and Run. The official youth skills competition of Major League Baseball. Host a local event and give kids in your community a chance to compete in the Pitch, Hit, and Run Finals at the 2024 MLB World Series. Sign up for free at pitchhitrun.com.
Hi, welcome back to the Brian Mitchell Show. Team 980, team980.com, and the radio.com app. Had an interview with Antonio Freeman at 1:15, also with J.P. Finley at 12:15. If you want to go back to those, go to the radio.com rewind feature, pick your finger and go back. You can probably listen to the whole interview if you want to. I think it'll be up for like 24 hours. You can listen to the whole interview, or you can go to certain points of it. And Antonio Freeman gave his take also on Terry McLaurin. The young man right here, and also the game up there in Baltimore. So if some Baltimore Raven fans are listening, listen to that as well, because people are starting to feel like when you get into the playoffs, you need to have more of a, let's say what you call the college prep course class or a college class. And they believe that it's kind of junior high schoolish, that offense in the playoffs, and they just depending on the athleticism of Lamar instead of teaching him how to be a quarterback. And I think when you look at something like that, I would say this, Michael Vick. Look at Michael Vick when he was in Atlanta. Look at Michael Vick when he was in Philadelphia. Andy Reid had a lot to do with that. He was a guy who could stand in the pocket and pass the ball. Always had one of the strongest arms, but can pick you apart. So instead of a lot of these coaches being lazy asses, how about they get off of their lazy asses and sit there and make a guy become a better quarterback? And I know a lot of people, oh, it's about them. No. A lot of times, a lot of coaches just say, if things break down, use what you have. Instead of teaching them how to use everything that they have. Let's educate them a little bit and make them better players. It happened for Mike, I'm sure it can happen for Lamar as well. Taking your phone calls, open call Wednesday, 301-230-0980. Let's get back to the phone lines. Going to start off in D.C. with my man Mo. What's happening, Mo?
Hey, what's up, E-Mate?
I'm good, brother.
Yes, yes. Hey, you're great. I'm a Redskins fan from a long time. Yes, I understand. Well, I'm sorry, the Washington football thing. So. Yeah. I'm excited, Mitch. I've been wanting to see this. I've been wanting to see this for, and it's not for all the marbles, but I've been wanting to see Brady versus Aaron Rodgers for years, because on one hand, you got a fraction of people that's saying that Brady's the greatest of all time, and then you got a number of people saying that A. Rodgers is the greatest of all time. These two teams are evenly matched in the NFC championship game. So I've been wanting to see the GOAT versus who people think is the greatest arm talent, greatest thrower of the football of all time. So that's the game that I'm most excited about. The Buffalo Bills, I just think they on a heater right now. And, you know, I believe in Mahomes. I believe in the Chiefs and all. But the Buffalo Bills, you know how you just got that team one year that just get hot and is on a heater? I think that's the Buffalo Bills. So I got the Bills winning. Shout out to Chris Berman. I got the Bills winning, and I got Brady beating Rodgers. What do you think?
You got Brady beating Rodgers? I'm pulling for that to happen, to be totally honest with you, because I believe that the defense of Tampa Bay is better than the defense of Green Bay. The Bills, if Patrick Mahomes is healthy, that's going to be hard for me to do that. If he's not healthy, I can go along with that. But if Pat is healthy, it's something about that kid, man. You know, if he's playing in the game, it's something about him that just does work some wonders. And I would say the thing with Andy Reid prepared against Jim Johnson on a regular basis for a long time. Sean McDermott was Andy Reid's understudy. He was his quality control guy. Andy went up there and beat him earlier this year, and I believe he'll have a little bit more for him the next time. So, kind of hard for me going against Andy Reid. So I would say I look at Tom Brady and Patrick Mahomes at the end. At least that's what I'm pulling for. But you never know what'll happen when they play in Green Bay up there at the frozen tundra, and it probably will be frozen. But they have a quarterback in Tom Brady who is not affected by the frozen tundra anywhere else, because he played up there in Boston where it was cold a lot. And I watched him put 35 points up in the snow in a cold day in one quarter. It's capable with Tom. As long as his receivers come to play, he'll have a chance. Let's go to Silver Spring and check out Junior. What's up, Junior?
Good afternoon, Brian. Scott, it was open line Wednesday. I was going to talk about Taylor Heineke, but I've been wanting to
say something too.
To you for about 15, 20 years now, calling in here to you guys. I don't know if you remember what Carlisle was like for you guys, but it was I took my son up there several years ago when you guys were still going training camp there, and I had about four things for you to sign, and graciously enough, you signed all of them. Talk to me for a couple of minutes, play with my son for a couple more minutes. But I also had something that could sign from one of the quarterbacks there. I'm not going to mention his name. And I couldn't get his autograph when they were doing the lines and everything. And so we waited around between the practices when all the fans left and everything. And he happened to walk by us, and you came out right behind him, about 15, 20 yards behind him. And he blew us off, didn't acknowledge us at all, just kept on walking. You saw that, and you walked up to my son and I. My son was four at the time. And you came over, and you re-signed all four of the things, plus his hat, and you played with him for about another 5 or 6 minutes. You talked about your dad. So I want to tell you, thank you very much for that. That was one of the most gracious things I've ever seen anybody do. So I want to say thank you for that. That was very much appreciated. And I was a fan, but I was a Hall of Fame fan after that of yours. So I wanted to say thank you for that.
Thank you very much, man. I thank you.
And I want to say something about Taylor Heineke real quick. Okay. Everybody who's yelling that Taylor Heineke should be the starter, Taylor Heineke, what he did was he made an opportunity for himself. And I hope he gets that here. And if he can progress and become the starter, all the better for not only for himself, but for the fans and for the team. So I think that anybody yelling that he should be the starter, all he did was in those five quarters was create an opportunity for himself. And anybody yelling about the hire of general manager Marty Herney, yelling, we got to give, everybody saw what happened at the beginning of the year with Ron Rivera. A lot of us were questioning what he was doing and what he was saying and all the missteps or so-called missteps that we were all seeing. And look how it worked out. We have to put our trust in it. This guy trusts them and thinks that they can do a better job of what's been going on. And we have to trust in that right now. So all signs point that he is on the right track. And this is the first time in a long time we have changed, or he has changed the entire organization up there from, you know, hiring Jason Wright to hiring female coaches, minorities, everything that been yelling and screaming about in the NFL, he has been doing over there. So we need to give this man more of an opportunity instead of questioning every little thing he does. And Marty Herney actually has pretty decent track record above all of that, too.
All right, Junior. Appreciate you, man. And I'll just all three things. I think the whole thing about signing autographs and things of that nature, I never had the opportunity to meet a lot of professional athletes when I was growing up. And I was just always taught by my father that he said, when you're on your way up, always humble yourself, because when you're on your way down, those people remember you and they'll help you out. So for me, I have watched kids be basically distraught when someone wouldn't stop for them. And I always ask the question, what the hell can it do? Does it take an extra 2, 3, 4 minutes of your time just to sign something with somebody? Smile. That's why you hear me a lot of times coming on the radio today and I say, make somebody smile today. You know, you could be walking out of a door, hold the door open for somebody. Just asking a person, how's your day? You know, give somebody a compliment. Help an older person across the street. Whatever it is, it doesn't hurt us. And I think we need more of that in this country. We do things like that, just like stopping and signing an autograph and making a kid happy. Hell, you never know. You can ignite something in someone just by taking that time. You know, he talked about Taylor Heineke. You know, he's right. what Taylor Heinicke did was take full advantage of the opportunity that was presented to him. And by playing the way he did, he presented more opportunities, because I'm sure there are people right now looking saying, he could be a backup for us. We'll give him a chance to come battle for the job. Because, hey, backups in the NFL, 4, 5, 6, 8, 10, hell, $16 million, Taysom Hill, down there, up there in New Orleans. So you can make tons of money. But I think what he did was he showed a lot of people he was prepared. Weeks, 2 weeks, 3 weeks prior to that, he was taking exams. He was taking classes online. He comes to a team, and when he gets his opportunity, he works the offense as well as anybody that had been there all year. Then when he gets his chance to start, he was exceptional. Now, there are going to be people saying he's a little short. He gets hurt. But, no, I think he's earned the right to at least go there and try to battle for something. And what if he ends up beating somebody out? You know? What if he ends up being a backup quarterback on the team and making them some money? I think it'll be great. It should be a sign to everyone out there that, hey, don't say I deserve an opportunity, then you get it, you're not ready for it. So always be prepared, always be working. And the last thing that Junior talked about was about Marty Herney and all, and listening to Ron. You know, I think the ultimate thing is we always think that because we think something is going to happen, it should happen. But sometimes you need to let some things fester. And just like Junior stated, yeah, early on, I had some issues with things. A lot of people did. But still, I had the mindset to say, let's see how it pans out. And when I start seeing how the players talk about a coach, you know, and how people respond to what he's doing, and watching how hard he worked while he was dealing with those personal issues and things of that nature, it says a lot about the person. You look at I listened to see how people are talking, what messages are coming out. And I found out that coaches and players alike, they were giving one message. But when they got on the field, they all were working. Nobody was quitting. We always talk about people quitting on a coach, giving up on a coach. That never happened. These guys want to succeed. And if you have a coach who wants them to succeed, why, you know, put some road bumps in the road? If he has people that he trusts, that have experience and has some level of success, keeping those people in play means we can keep along the road without having to stop and reinvent the wheel. And I believe that's what the Marty Herney deal is about. So as Washington football team fans, I know it's been a long road. But if we decide that we want them to do what we want them to do, because remember, for a while there, every two years, there was a new coach. And we complained about it. And then when we got one, after a year or two, we complained about them. Then they hired another one. But we never, ever held ourselves accountable for the fact that, oh, this coach is gone. We were asking for the coach to be gone. But then we sit there and we go, oh, man, Dan started getting rid of all these coaches. We were asking for it. So how about now they do something against what we want? Because a lot of people were saying fire Ron Rivera during the season. Do you still feel that way? So now that they're not listening to us when they did before, because we like to point fingers at everybody else, it was partially a lot of us, a lot of the pressure. We got loud to get rid of certain people, and they did. But when they did it, then we say, oh, they're always doing the same thing. What, listening to the fans? So I would advise them, don't listen to the fans. Fans are, you know what, you cheer. You spend your money. You're going to love it, you're going to hate it. But you shouldn't be making the decisions. The people that's hired to make those decisions should be making them. And, yes, we have a right to disagree. But disagree and move on, because you're not going to disagree and get a seat at the table. That's not going to happen. I get pissed off sometimes. I disagree. But ultimately, I look for what comes out of it. Do they get better? Do they begin to have success? Are things being changed up? And most times I can say yes. So that's what I'm going to go with. All I can say is I saw more from December to now, December of 2019 to now, than I've seen in the 5 or 6 years that I had Bruce and Jay Gruden here. So I'm happy, but I know they're not satisfied. The football team, the coach, the players, they're not satisfied. They want more. And just having that, wanting more, instead of wanting the season to end, can't stand the coach, which a lot of them couldn't stand Jay. I'm loving this, and it's going to be better. So just pump your brakes a little bit. Be patient. We're going to take a quick break, get back. 301-230-0980. Take your phone calls. Open phone call Wednesday. If you met me, I was nice or not nice. Let's talk about it. Because if I wasn't nice, you probably said something wrong to me. Because I'm normally nice to people that I meet outside because I don't know who you are. So if you know, I don't know who you are, I'm not going to say nothing crazy and then risk an opportunity or a chance. So I'm normally nice. Now, if you say something stupid to me, I will defend me. We'll be back. Get at least three offers on your home within 72 hours guaranteed, courtesy of our friend John Leahy of RE/MAX Fine Living. Go online to johnsalesdmv.com. That's johnsalesdmv.com. Welcome back to the Brian Mitchell Show. We're taking your phone calls. Open call Wednesday. I got something to let you know at the end of this thing, and I'm very, very happy to have that news, but I'm going to hold on to it just a little bit. But we're going to go straight to the phone calls right now, and we're going to start off with Lil Legs, Tony. I mean, Big Tony. What's up, man? How you doing?
What's going on, my favorite Lemonhead, baby?
How you going to call in and tell producer to tell me stuff? I could have told him just block your ass. I'll have to talk to you.
Nah, dude, because I didn't want you to smack him in his head, so I forewarned him.
I'm going
to
smack him in his head. I'm way at home.
Oh, okay. Well, never mind then.
See, obviously you don't listen to the show, do you?
Hey, listen to me, baby. So how you doing? Forget all the pleasantries, man. Look here. All these people that think Aaron Rodgers is the shiznit, that's cool. Okay, let me say something. Dan Fouts. Hey, B-Mitch, I forget the running back's name, but Dan Fouts, he had no defense. Marino had no defense. But Dan Fouts, dude, at one time had Joyner, Jefferson, Chandler, Winslow, and I keep forgetting the B-Mitch, what's the running back's name?
From the Chargers back in the day?
Yeah, he was
it
a
Chuck
monster.
Mussey?
Yeah, was it Mussey that came from New Orleans?
I'm thinking.
Whatever. That sounds about right.
I can't
right.
remember that long ago. I got hit in the head too many times.
Oh, yeah. Well, I've been drinking too many 40s. But anyway, so all you people on Aaron Rodgers, man, get off that. Second of all, Brady versus Rodgers, no. I'm gonna go ahead and say right now, I'm taking Brady. The better defense, this, that, and other. And all the people saying, Mahomes ain't going to play, and this, don't worry about that, he's playing. Now, here's the hill, Mike Thomas.
Damn, you're a doctor now. I didn't know that.
Yeah. I played one on TV, and I played one at night, you know, but that's a different story. Mike Tomlin, they fired everybody. They said it was this, that, and other. It ain't that. But you know what else says? James Harden, you suck. Kyrie Irving, you – what's Kyrie? Whatever the bad
Kyrie Irving.
K-Y-R-I-E.
Yeah. Kyrie.
Yeah. With the earth is flat or round or whatever the hell. I'm gone.
Hey, I tell you, bro. Hey, only B-Mitch, person that could be confused on an open call wins is Big Tony. Get off my phone. Bye.
Hey, B-Mitch. B-Mitch, 40 to.
Yeah, bye. Good stuff. That's the only person that could call in on an open call wins and confuse himself. He didn't even know what the hell he wanted to say. That's kind of strange, isn't it? Let's go to Arlington and check out Matt. What's up, Matt? How you doing, man?
Great. How are you?
I'm well, man. How you feeling?
I'm fine. I want to run this by you. I heard a proposed trade, Deshaun Watson to Washington for Montez Sweat and a number one and number two pick. And I have a problem with that thinking. I think that you shouldn't give up too much to get a quarterback. We've had Stan Humphries plays for us, Trent Green, Mark Rippon. I think that getting a quarterback you need is a long game, and you don't give away your star. And I was hoping you'd agree with me.
Well, I'm saying they're going to give up Montez a first and a second-round pick?
Yeah, that's what I heard mentioned on the sports radio for Deshaun Watson.
Well, I'm going to be honest with you. Deshaun Watson is one of those special guys. I'm going to listen to everything. But I'm going to still try to maneuver it to make it more beneficial to me. But one thing about this league today, you need to have a legitimate quarterback. And I think that would be a legitimate quarterback. Now, I would only go along with that if that's what Ron Rivera wants to do. And looking at Deshaun Watson's makeup, being athletic, but he's also a damn good passer, I believe that's what Ron Rivera likes. So I'm not going to poo-poo on this deal yet because I haven't heard it yet. I've been sitting in this basement trying to do the show, trying to flip through all this stuff. But if it's something that comes up, I'm willing to listen. But I'm not going to say yay or nay at this point.
So am I bringing up Stan Humphries and Mark Rippon? That's kind of old. That's all sort of past.
I think football today is not like it was back then. Back then you had the hogs. Back then you could hold on to the offensive line forever. So you can basically put anybody behind them and they were going to be successful. You know, I think today you're switching up so much because of the salary cap and things. And if you have a quarterback who's making big money, you have to find a way to make sure that that quarterback can help your guys get better. Deshaun Watson can do that. But Stan Humphries, if you say Mark Rippon, yes, he went on a Super Bowl winning year when he was sacked 9 times, I think it was 9, 11 times. But Stan Humphries, I'm not going to put him on that same level. I played against Stan in college and high school and the pros and with him in the pros. But I think the year Mark had was something spectacular. But you're looking for somebody that can have 5 to 10 years like that, and I don't think Stan put together 2. So, I'm not going to go with Stan. I'll go with Mark, though.
All right,
man. Appreciate
you. Thank you very much.
All right, let's go to Northeast and check out Jamal. What's up, Jamal?
B. Mitch, what's going on?
I'm chilling, brother. How you feeling?
Man, I'm great, man. I can't complain, man. Even if I did, it wouldn't change nothing, so it's all good, man. But I definitely, man, I'm excited for this game coming up, man. You know, I'm a proud Rodgers fan, man. I think he finally about to be able to get that second ring. I know Brady and them coming are going to have something to say about that, but I think this is his year, the way he's been playing, the way he lit up the Rams last week, man. Like, I get it, Aaron Donald was hurt and hampered, but so was their left tackle, so whatever. And he went out there and lit them up, man. And I didn't think he was going to be able to do that against that defense, so you know, I feel like that defense was better than Tampa Bay, you know, because, I mean, I've been impressed with Leonard Fournette. And that's the crazy thing, B-Mitch. Why is nobody talking about that? I get it. Brady sells the papers and everything. But if you've been watching with your eyes and looking at the game, Fournette killed my team, the football team, came out next week and killed whatchamaface as well. But it's all about Dan Brady. But whatever. You know what I'm saying?
That's how the league is, Jamal. They always put it about the quarterback. Because to be honest with you, I think it's about the defenses. And I think Leonard Fournette is playing.
I'm with you there. I think
Leonard Fournette is balling right now.
Yes, yeah. Leonard Fournette is healthy. He hasn't played all year. He's healthy. He's fresh legs. He out there running over everybody. But whatever, you know what I'm saying? I get it. Brady's there, so it's Brady's reason. He's the reason they're winning, so I get it. But I definitely can't wait for that game, B-Mitch. As far as the Watson thing, B-Mitch, if we got a shot to get that, B-Mitch, we got to do it. Okay, and I get it. Everybody keep bringing up that stat how every Super Bowl was won by a quarterback that was drafted by the team. Well, the only other two exceptions was when Breeze went to the Saints and when Peyton Manning went to the Broncos. Now, I'm not saying Watson is Breeze. Only two exceptions was when Breeze went to the Saints and when Peyton Manning went to the Broncos. Now, I'm not saying Watson is Breeze or Peyton, but he's pretty damn good. And he's a lot younger than they were when they left their original franchises. So I definitely feel like if we got a shot, only players we shouldn't give up is McLaurin, Chase Young. You can have whoever the hell else on this team, man, and that's it. And I think we got to do that, B-Mitch. If so, we automatically got the best quarterback in the division, and that should put us in a position to not only compete next year but for years to come because he's so young. That should be 6-7 years of us competing, something we're not used to around here. So I definitely think we got to make that happen, B-Mitch. Thanks for taking the call.
Appreciate you, Jamal. Let's go to Frederick. Check out Jackie. Jack, what's up?
B. Mitch, my man, what's good?
Oh man, just chilling, just having fun.
Hey B, listen. My last man has just called. I'm with him. I'm taking Aaron Rodgers all day, and I'm gonna tell you why. Drew Brees didn't exploit the same things we did when we played them, and that was a DB. If I'm gonna tell you right now. If they ain't got somebody to check Scandrick and Devontae Adams, they is in trouble. It's going to be a long day for Tampa Bay. And anyways, about Deshaun Watson. Now, I would love Deshaun Watson. I just don't want to have to break the bank to get him. That's all I'm saying. So, B. Mitch, with that being said, all y'all Brady people out there, just call up on the show on Monday when Aaron Rodgers go ahead and get ready to go to the Super Bowl. Thanks, B. Have a good day, baby.
All right. Appreciate you, Jackie. This is going to be a tough one here, man. Aaron Rodgers, Tom Brady. I think the Bucks won that game the first time, but this is now January in Green Bay, Wisconsin. The tundra is frozen, and Aaron Rodgers is ready to go. But don't fool yourselves. Tom Brady is not afraid of the cold weather. He's not afraid of it. I know people talk about the division they were in. They played against people outside of the division. Then when they got to the Super Bowl, they beat people from the best from the other division, from the other conference. I want to see a great game. Whoever wins, wins. But, you know, I don't. Aaron, Tom, whoever. I'm cheering more for Leftwich, Bowles, Arians. We'll see how it goes. Let's go to Oklahoma. Check out my buddy John. John, what's been up, man? I haven't heard from you in a while.
Hey, B-Mitch, how you doing?
Doing good, man.
All right. Hey, I heard a caller say just now they're thinking about, or I guess he's thinking about trading Montez Sweat for Deshaun Jackson and two draft picks. I wouldn't trade Sweat straight across, much less giving up draft picks. We finally, you know, B-Mitch got something working on defense, and they want to tear that apart. I mean, if they really are thinking about that, I mean, it just goes all over me. And I like Rodgers against Brady, but I like to see Buffalo win it all, man. For you know, I like to see some new blood finally win it, man. And you know, I hope they don't get rid of Sweat, man. He's just getting better and better, and they complement each other. It's like having Manly and Man out there again all over. Surely to God, that's just a rumor. That's all I got to say, B.
Hey, it's all rumors until it happens. Someone said that's
I know, man.
So we'll see.
I hate it. I mean, look, that's the best part. That's the anchor of our team right now, B. I mean, why would you tear that apart? A quarterback, we'll get one. Let them two guys, let Heineke come back and see how it goes, man. Give him a shot. I mean, a lot of people made it to the Super Bowl and won it without premier quarterbacks. I mean, you know, it might have just
been one,
but Flacco, Dilfer. Well, I know, but I mean, shoot, man, I just would not get rid of.
You brought up the Trent Dilfer thing. Trent Dilfer played with probably arguably one of the top three defenses in the history of football.
Yes, sir.
It don't happen like that with every team. So my thing is, if the move that's made makes the team better overall, I'm with it. But I like Sweat. I don't want to see that happen with him. But we'll see how the powers that be do it, because I don't have a chance. I don't have a choice in it. So I just have to go along whatever happens.
I hear you, buddy.
All right, man. Appreciate you. Let's go to Richmond. Check out Jay. Jay, what's happening, brother?
What's going on, B. Mitch? How's it going, brother?
Oh, going well, man.
All right. Hey, man, I got Aaron Rodgers with Green Bay, man. A couple reasons why. I think Green Bay has first of all, they're playing in the frozen tundra, minus the fans. But they have a more balanced offense to me, man. They have a more balanced run game. Plus, Aaron Rodgers can move off that pocket. They can roll that pocket a little bit and get away from that Tampa Bay blitz, as which they love to do. I mean, I take Aaron on the outside all day rolling out, hitting those receivers. Second is I want to talk about Deshaun Watson. I'm a no-go on Deshaun. Watson has a lot of mileage, man. He's taken a ton of sacks throughout the years. And I just wanted, you know, I don't think he's going to fit. I think he's going to be a little skittish. And until I could see that, there's no way I'm giving up, you know, two or three first rounders for Deshaun Watson. Not doing it, brother. I'll kick it back to you, B.
Appreciate you, bro. Aaron, Deshaun Watson is a bad man, bro. I don't know. Just been watching him over these years, and the like when they ran an offense where they just sat back and waited for the big play to open up. I don't think that's the offense that we run here. So I think he'll be different in this situation. But it is what it is. We'll see how these things go, and we're gonna take us a quick break. But let's see what's happening around the rest of the world, sports world.
Here's what's trending on the Team 980.
All right, this is breaking news, and this is what's trending. And we've been hearing that Marty Herney is going to be hired here in Washington. And somebody else that will be working in close contact with Ron Rivera and Marty Herney. This is a rumor. It's breaking news. I hope it is absolutely true. that 49ers Vice President of Player Personnel, Martin Mayhew, a former player here from the Washington football team, will be joining Washington as a high-ranking executive with a title to be determined later. He'll work with Ron Rivera and also Marty Herney. And I say that would be a great move. Everyone talks about John Lynch in the 49ers. But John Lynch quickly hired Martin Mayhew when he went there. And Martin Mayhew had a lot to do with helping him learn how to be a GM and a lot of the moves that they made. So if Martin Mayhew could be going full circle, let me tell you an inside story. I used to sit there with him when I got here in 1990. He told me he was going to become a general manager in the NFL. I don't think people of our color thought about being a general manager of the NFL then. But he had a plan. He was going to law school weekends, and he's going to law school in off season. He ended up being a general manager up there with Detroit, went and helped out John Lynch, and could be back here at the Washington football team where everything started. So that is good news and something I'm great about. Something I feel good about. Let's say it like that. We're going to take a break here. When we get back, Chase Hughes will join us. NBC Sports Washington covers the NBA and the Washington. All right, welcome back to the Brian Mitchell Show. And join us now here on the Team 980 and the radio.com app. Remember, if you miss any of the interviews today, 1:15 and also 12:15, Antonio Freeman at 1:15, J.P. Finley at 12:15, you can go to the radio.com rewind feature, take your finger and go back zip, right to the spot that you want to do. That's a feature that we have here. Not any other people have it. So make sure you go take advantage of that and be able to go back and listen to some of the great interviews we have, like the one about to happen here now. Chase Hughes, NBC Sports Washington, joins us. He covers the NBA and the Washington Wizards. And Chase, the question I keep asking, I keep seeing all these games get postponed. Another person tested positive. How the hell are they going to make these games up?
You know, that's a really, really good question. The league left open the second half of the schedule in the event that they would have to make up games. But as they continue to pile up, it's now five for the Wizards, and who knows if there'll be more. It's going to be really, really hard to do that. You know, Tommy Shepard spoke on Friday and was asked about how they're going to make up these games. And he mentioned the possibility that maybe before the end of the first half of the season, they could make up some of these games on an off night. But I looked at the off nights they have, and it's just a lot easier said than done. You know, it's in the CBA that you can't play three or four nights in a row, and there's a lot of back-to-backs. So a lot of these off nights are in the middle of back-to-backs where it would be three or four nights in a row. And then when they have an off night, the teams that they need to play don't have an off night. So you look ahead, and the next nights that would be open for the Wizards, it just doesn't work. And there's four different teams now that they have games to make up with, because there's two against Cleveland. And I think they're going to have to wait till the second half of the season. And, you know, I was actually texting with another NBA with, because there's two against Cleveland. And I think they're going to have to wait till the second half of the season. And, you know, I was actually texting with another NBA GM yesterday, actually a guy who I randomly have kind of connected with because he's a big fan of the Washington football team. And I am too. And he was saying he's skeptical that they're going to be able to make up some of these games. So that's the plan for the NBA. But as you look ahead, it's going to be really difficult the more they pile up.
And see, the thing of it, I know they were saying that they were going to shorten the season, but they're going to try to make sure they don't have these back-to-backs and things of that nature. But when you see one team with six games to make up, you're going to have some back-to-backs. And when they left out the second half of the season, I thought that was very creative on their part. Because I believe that they said, 78 games? Somebody 68 games? I don't think it's going to get that close.
Yeah, and obviously there's some people watching this because they bet on how many official games would be played. but, yeah, it's not as simple as baseball. You know, baseball, you don't have that many off days. But you have these series where teams arrive in town and they're here for a few days. They play a lot of the same teams a lot. And there's really no limit in how many games and how many days in a row that you can play. Sometimes they play 20, 21 days in a row because they have to make up games. And so you wonder if the Wizards are going to end up playing all these games. You know, I think it's probably going to depend, like it does in baseball, on how much those games matter. You know, if a Wizards-Cavaliers game, if they put that at the very end of the season and they feel like it doesn't have any bearing on the playoff seeding, you know, maybe they can get rid of that. But what's going to be really interesting, the more these games get postponed that I was looking into, is that in the NBA, you know, certain statistics, the leaderboards, the qualifiers, you have to play a certain amount of games. And usually it's 58 out of 82 games, which is about 71% of the games. So that means you'd have to play 51 games. Hey, B-Mitch, you still got me?
Yes, I got you.
Oh, sorry. I thought the call dropped. So that means
you were talking, man. We listening. You're giving us good information.
Yeah, so you'd have to play at least 51 games. So a guy like Bradley Beal right now, he's in the lead for points per game. And it's these rate statistics like points per game and assists per game where you have to play a certain amount to qualify, right? It's not the total points. Well, Bradley Beal right now has only played in 10 games, and while some other players have played 15, 16. So technically right now he wouldn't qualify for the scoring title. And that's a big deal because obviously you'd want a scoring title. You know, you look back, every single player who's won a scoring title since 1947 is either in the Hall of Fame or is going to be. It's guys like LeBron James, Steph Curry, Kevin Durant. And, you know, you miss some games because your team doesn't play a full schedule or he's already missed one because of protocol. That means you don't have a whole lot of margin for error when it comes to missing games like rest and missing games for injuries. So it could really have a profound effect on individual players. You see a guy like Jason Tatum who's still out after playing the Wizards. You got to sit 10 to 14 days if you test positive. There could be a lot of different effects by teams missing games.
Talking to Chase Hughes, NBC Sports Washington, covers the NBA and the Washington Wizards, and here on the Brian Mitchell Show, Team 980, team980.com, and the radio.com app. Chase, I asked this question also. Early on, we saw the Wiz play against two teams that had the coronavirus situation. And we kept saying, like, well, they're playing against these teams. Though. Why didn't they do something before? Now it seems like it was the Wizards that everybody they came in contact with ended up having to put somebody in the situation. Where did this all start at? Did it start somewhere else or did it start here?
Well, that's a really good question. And the league doesn't sound like they've been able to get to the bottom of it. You know, they do their contact tracing and they can go back through all the different games that the Wizards came in close contact with other teams. And there were five different games where the very next day, either a player or multiple players on the Wizards or the team they just played had to go into protocol. It included, as you mentioned, as you alluded to, Jason Tatum and Seth Curry testing positive, but they have tracking software to find out exactly, you know, who guarded who and for how long during games. But there's just so many different ways these guys can come into contact with each other. It's not just during the game, you know, during timeouts, they might walk through the path of another player and breathe the same air. So it really kind of shows you the challenges of contact tracing when it comes to a sport like basketball, where everyone essentially in one way or the other comes in contact with each other. So it doesn't appear to be a situation where it's as simple as someone broke protocol by going out to a club or was it a party or something like that. Obviously, we've heard of that around the NBA and in other sports. It doesn't sound like that. And it doesn't really sound like it might even have been the Wizards' fault. Originally, it was just all their players. There was no staff members. They don't feel like it happened at their practice facility, although now at least one staff member is tested positive. So the way the Wizards feel about it is this was inevitably going to happen to some team, and it just happened to be them. And they got hit really, really hard, and now they've had five games postponed, and they're wondering when they'll play next.
Well, looking around the NBA a little bit, Kyrie Irving has had a lot of issues going on. What was the real reason that he said he was out?
You know, I don't think it's really been specified other than he had some personal issues he wanted to work through and some family issues that he wanted to work through. You know, I think it has kind of delved into that territory of mental health and the situation where he needed a break away from work. And obviously in today's era with social media, you know, you got to deal with all the memes and all the speculation about what's going through a guy's head, and you know, obviously he's got a history of kind of going to the beat of his own drum. But it sounds like he had some stuff in his personal life that he needed to press pause and take a step away. And obviously a lot changed with that Brooklyn Nets team. You know, from a basketball perspective, he's coming back to a team that improved quite a bit, I think, by bringing in James Harden, but now also has some questions about whether he fits into what they're doing. Because they've looked really, really good with James Harden and Kevin Durant. And the original plan was Kyrie Irving and Kevin Durant. But now that you got James Harden, I feel like there's a little bit of redundancy there. And I wonder, not to switch the subject from mental health here, but I wonder, you know, if the Brooklyn Nets front office is going to have to, you know, look around the league and maybe think about trading Kyrie Irving for someone who complements those other guys better.
Well, I think we'll find out, Chase, how quick – we'll find out the truth of what he was saying because, you know, I think we have to take mental health situations serious as hell. But I think a lot of people have also learned the fact that we have to take it serious. And a lot of times I see a lot of people in situations, they immediately go to that because they know that's something that you have to take serious. You get what I'm saying?
Mm-hmm.
If he all of a sudden become better, it'll be the fact that someone showed you they don't need you. That was a cure to his. But I understand that the importance and the seriousness of mental health. But I would hope that people don't take it and play with it, you know. But as we look forward to the Wiz, I ask this question. Russell Westbrook had to sit out, what, it was almost 2 weeks. It was four games or whatever because of the thigh. Is he, when we finally get through all this, will they be back intact other than Thomas Bryant?
It sounds like he's not going to be out long, that there's a chance that the first game they come back, he'll be in the lineup. You know, last we heard, Scott Brooks said that he'd been texting with Russell Westbrook and that he felt a lot better. And, you know, ultimately this is an injury that is not to a ligament or a tendon or a fracture to a bone. It's a bruise in his quad. And it's something that's been aggravated a few times. He's been hit there in a few games, but it's not something that, you know, traditionally you would be really concerned about a long-term absence for. So I wouldn't expect him to be out long. You know, you have those factors at play. And also this is a guy who, you know, coaches love to say, oh, we got to talk this guy out of the lineup. You know, he doesn't like to sit. But this is a player who was already playing through a dislocated finger and a wrap on his hand. You know, he's been one of the more durable players, at least in his position in the league, the type of guy who, you know, not only plays through injuries, sometimes to his own detriment, but, you know, always gives you a really high effort level. So I wouldn't expect him to be out long. But, you know, they played their first game without him against the Suns. And I think they showed the way they can win, and that is to play with more structure offensively and limit turnovers. And that's something that he's had a problem with so far this season. You know, he shot a low percentage, which I think may potentially be partly to blame with that injury, because he hasn't had the exact same explosiveness he had in the past, the same lift on his jumper. And also he's been playing a little bit too fast and a little bit too carefree with the ball. You know, he's averaging 5 turnovers a game. And Scott Brooks has explained that when they cut down those turnovers, they have a better chance defensively because they don't have to be rushing back and scrambling in transition defense. So I think the structure that they showed in that game is something that when Russell Westbrook comes back, he's going to have to adhere to.
All right, man. Well, Chase, I appreciate you giving us some time. And I'll just give Russell Westbrook a hint. There are these little thigh pads, these little tights out there that got these little slots. And you put thigh pads in them that can protect you from hitting that same spot over and over again. But let's hope that everything gets better with them and everybody that has COVID-19, they get out of it on the other side being well, because we know this is a serious issue and we got to all come together and take care of it. Man, I thank you for giving me some time.
Yeah, absolutely, man. Anytime.
All right. Want to thank J.P. Finley from joining us, NBC Sports Washington and the Washington Football Talk podcast, Antonio Freeman, former Green Bay Packer, Chase Hughes, NBC Sports Washington. I want you to understand the Daily Sports Line is brought to you by DC Lottery's new sports book, Gambit DC. Download today at gambitdc.com. That's GAMBETDC.com, and access spreads, money line, over and under, and live in-game betting all at your fingertips. It's sports only better. Thank you all for joining the Brian Mitchell Show. We'll see you again tomorrow at 12 o'clock. Peace.